I was going through the article, I was like, oh my God, all these innocent victims and the money, everything. Just go ahead and tell me what you think, and whether or not just an apology or thumbs up will sum things up for the whole victims, and what about the future? Go ahead.
Yeah, this is the kind of story that really kind of I find sad. Normally with such a, you know, high-profile kind of target and story, I might be chomping at the bit to speak my mind. But I find it just ironic and very, very sad. It gives me a sense of despair. You know, it really, at the core of it, is a case of this high-profile, powerful man willing to go only but so far, you know, and he will speak to the bishops, and it's just so galling that he would praise them for their courage and not address directly the suffering of the victims in the same speech. It should be part of the same delivery, you know, and to praise their fiscal sacrifice for selling off assets and closing churches, that made me sad and quite angry, because they sold off all these assets so they could pay their expensive lawyers to find loopholes, to continue the cover up, and it's not just the victims of this horrible sex abuse scandal, but local people whose diocese, you know, old women who had gone to church every day at the same church for the last 50 years, but it had to be closed and diocese merged, and this happened all throughout the U.S. because they had to sell off this property to pay out these either hush money or compensation for the victims. So it really points out the inherent contradictions of and the conflict of this pope, a king, a leader, an emperor who can only go so far. You know, he is a man of the poor. He chose the name Francis, you know, which is essentially, you know, Francis of Assisi. He's making that connection very open. But then, you know, what happens when a famous person comes to, like, a Spanish Harlem, which he came to? The New York Post actually called it parting the sea of bums to make the neighborhood clean enough and safe enough for the Pope to visit. And what's the irony? I mean, as Bart Simpson would say, the ironing is delicious. You know, here is the symbol of poverty or of raising up the poor, and it actually highlights this vicious policy of broken windows policing, this sick thing that has led to the police violence and the murder of all these black teenagers in the United States, because these neighborhoods have to be made safe for white settlement, and they're in the way, and so these minor crimes like vagrancy and homelessness and spitting and jaywalking have to be aggressively punished. And, you know, then he comes along, he says that he's visiting Spanish Harlem because Latin Americans, Spanish Americans, are the absolute foundation, the rock of the current Catholic Church. But of course, this is the vestige of a history, a 500-600-year history of plunder, of colonialism. Catholicism was the absolute essence, the ideological, political, and spiritual foundation of colonialism. For God, gold, and glory. That's what Columbus was here for, and that's what led to the genocide of millions of Native Americans. It's very important for him to canonize a Spanish priest when he's in California, but this priest was responsible for the deaths of thousands of Natives. So these contradictions can never be forgotten, and they shouldn't be. You know, this is He can go to that extent, but he won't embrace liberation theology. You know, when he was archbishop in Argentina, he was accused of having forgotten or turned a blind eye to the dirty war when Jesuit priests were disappeared and killed, and he went to Bolivia, and he met with Morales, and he went to the site where Lucho Espinal was assassinated, but then he was shocked at the presentation of the hammer and sickle cross. And so he thought, you know, you can do one thing without the other. He talks a good game and can criticize capitalism, but it's very difficult for him to go that extra mile. And he said at the same time, when he was at the site of Lucho Espinal's assassination, he said he died just like Oscar Romero in El Salvador. But, of course, he visited El Salvador when Oscar Romero was still alive and wouldn't give him the time of day. That I think it's hard for me personally also because I was raised in the Catholic Church and I still have some affinity for its teachings about the unimportance of material wealth, about serving the poor, about raising up others. But, you know, the extra thing is that we have to be of the people and we can't be exponents of this horrific tradition without acknowledging it. And that's what's so difficult for me. As I say, I find it very sad. The other part of it is I don't want to just criticize Catholicism because other Christians are also involved in this horrendous, you know, Islamophobia and trying to demonize Islam as a violent religion when Christianity was, as I said, the backbone of the conquest of the entire Western hemisphere. And so there's a lot of blood on the hands of this religion, and not just Catholicism, but say Christian Zionists, the right wing of the evangelical church, whose only support for the Jews comes from the fact they're going to be used when they're set afire and they ascend into heaven from the Temple Mount. You know, this is you have to assess both things at the same time. It's very important if you want to be a man of the people and a man of the poor that your office. And this is the irony. Your office is an exponent of this atrocious history, and it is very difficult to bring those two into line, no matter how good a person he is individually and no matter how he talks the talk.